Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too. Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 12, says this: "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor.' But I said, 'I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God.' And now, the Lord says, 'He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength,' he says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. This is what the Lord says: In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, 'Come out,' and to those in darkness, 'Be free.' They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, and some from the region of Aswan." Well, this evening we're in Isaiah 49, and we've seen, haven't we, that Israel needs rescue. They're going to be going into exile, but God is going to rescue them from captivity, and he's going to bring them back. He's going to do that through his chosen ally, Cyrus the Great. But if you were here last time we were in Isaiah, we were left with a question. There was an issue with this rescue. The issue being that no previous rescue had ever done the job. Just think back to the last big rescue in Israel's history, the Exodus. God had led his people out of Egypt, but the very next chapter, as we're going to see, they were grumbling. Again and again, the people had been rescued, but it would just keep repeating itself. The book of Judges, the book of Kings, they all make that point. Now, we saw that something different is needed, something more, someone more. And we got the hint of that last week in chapter 48, verse 16. It comes up on the screen just to remind you. It was a little whisper of what's going to happen. What's going to stop history looping itself again? Well, Isaiah 48, verse 16. "Come near me and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with his spirit." Now, when we hear of someone who is sent by the Lord, someone who is endowed with his spirit, well, our ears should be pricked. In fact, if you remember Isaiah from the Christmas time, Isaiah chapter 11 gets read, doesn't it? Where God says this: "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. See that phrase coming up again? Or a bit closer to home, Isaiah 42, we were there a little while ago. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. See, here in Isaiah 49, we're going to be shown something more of this servant. And so what we're doing this evening is we're going to reflect on what we're told. Because there are three things that Isaiah wants to put front and center for us about this servant. And the first one is in there in verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 49. Have a look down at the text with me. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. Do you see there? The whole world is being called once again to listen to what God is about to do. Or in fact, to listen to the servant. And we're told here that the servant is a hidden weapon. You see, he's been hidden away. You see the language there? Can you see that? Hidden in the language there of the womb. From the womb, God has called this servant. I mean, in the days now of, what do we have? We have the jelly stuff that's really cold and the scanner thing. I forgot what the official name of it is. Whatever that is, where you hear that, you see the baby. Ultrasound, brilliant. Yeah, the ultrasound. We tend to think to ourselves, well, yeah, we name our child before it's born. That's just a normal thing. But in Isaiah's day, that's a weird thing to say. From the womb, God has called the servant. From the womb, he has given him a task right from the beginning. He is an authorized agent. He's a 007 figure, you could say. Verse 2, he hid me. And at the end of the verse, he concealed me. See, this servant is hidden away. He's waiting for the time to be revealed. In fact, he seems to exist before he's born. And he's not going to be born for quite a long number of years yet. He's been prepared and he's waiting for the moment to come out of the shadows. See, this is what God has been planning all along to break the cycle of history. And he's a weapon. Did you see that? He's a sharpened sword, verse 2. He's a polished or a chosen arrow concealed in a quiver. God is planning to fix history through a war. And this here is his chosen weapon. This here is the special shot that he has up his sleeve. Yet, this is the second thing Isaiah wants us to see. Well, what is the actual weapon of this servant? How is he going to fight the war? What is his main action? It's there in verse 2. It's his mouth. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. See, the servant is being prepared for a war, yes, but it's going to be a war of words. It is going to be through the words of this servant that God is going to stop history repeating itself. It is through this servant's mouth that the ends of the earth are going to be reached. And finally, third thing Isaiah wants us to see, I've been saying this all along, but it deserves a lot of our attention this evening. Isaiah wants us to see that God's plan is focused in on a servant. Verse 3, he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. God is going to bring about his rescue plan through this servant. And servant is a massive thing to say. Let's just think about this for a few moments. Firstly, verse 3, we can skim over what is actually happening here in this verse. See, this servant, the one who's been hidden away, is called Israel. Do you see that? You are my servant, Israel. The issue is, throughout Isaiah, we've seen that Israel is the one who needs rescuing. And the same is in view here. Just have a look at verse 6. It's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. See, the servant is going to rescue Israel. Israel is going to rescue Israel. How's that going to work? In fact, Isaiah wants us to grapple with that. How can this be? How can Israel, trapped in exile, rescue themselves? Well, as I've hinted, it helps us to clock that the word servant is a big deal in the Bible, particularly to be the servant of God, the servant of the Lord. That is a phrase that is used very specifically in the Bible, and Isaiah wants us to think it through. See, the main use of the phrase when the Bible says the servant of God is King David. In Samuel chapter 7, the phrase servant is actually really plain to see. In fact, if you miss it when you're looking at 2 Samuel 7, you're actually missing quite a big thing. This is only a small part of 2 Samuel 7, but you can see how many times it comes up here. Well, how does that help us? Great, 2 Samuel 7. Just think about Queen Elizabeth for the moment. There she is, dear Lizzie. There is an aspect to her role, isn't there? That means that she can go anywhere in the world and say, I am England. She can represent all of us as our queen, can't she? Well, King David would be able to do exactly the same thing with Israel. He could say, I am Israel. And so let's put those pieces together. Here in Isaiah chapter 49, Israel can rescue Israel if the rescuer of Israel is the king of Israel. Israel can rescue Israel if the rescuer is the king of Israel. That might take some thinking through, but we know it's what Isaiah wants us to think. Just remember Isaiah 11, I put it on the screen earlier. The one whom God is going to send, the one who's going to have his spirit rest on him, is called the son of Jesse there. That's David's dad. This is going to be another David. This servant is going to be the king who's going to represent and rescue his people, Israel. But did you see the king is also going to suffer in his task? He's going to suffer like the other servants of God have. He's going to suffer like Isaiah has. Look at this. Isaiah is labeled the servant in Isaiah 20, verse 3. Isaiah is the one who's been going around speaking, but with no one listening. You could say he has labored in vain. He has spent his strength for nothing. Israel has not listened to him. And so this new servant is going to be like him. In fact, he's going to be rejected, not just by Israel, but by everyone. You see that in verse 7? This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him, that's the servant, who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. The servant is going to suffer. But after that, the servant will be glorified. Second half of verse 4. But I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet, what is due to me is in the Lord's hands. And my reward is with my God. Or the expansion of that, the second half of verse 7. Kings will see you, servant, and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And so this servant will complete his mission. This 007 will do his task. So what is that task? Well, verses 5 and 6 explain that for us. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I've kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. See, this servant is going to bring Jacob back to God. He's going to gather, it's the opposite of scatter, Israel. This servant is going to deal with the exile of Israel. Yet for this agent of God, to paraphrase a James Bond theme, you might get the hint going on here. Israel is not enough. See, he's going to go to the ends of the world. He's going to be a light for the Gentiles, that God's salvation might reach to the ends of the earth. This servant is going to be the one who's going to bring God's blessing to the world, the one who's going to bring the promises of Abraham in. That is why the world needs to listen to him. So as this servant does what is needed, God is going to be with him, verses 8 and 9. This is what the Lord says, in the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. So the servant is going to bring the captives out of exile. He's going to restore the land. He's going to reassign its desolate inheritances. Well, that's a weird phrase, isn't it? Desolate inheritances. Well, if it's strange, it's probably from the Old Testament. True. But you see, that's another phrase that's connected to another servant of the Lord earlier in the Bible. If you wanted to read Joshua 15 to 18, might be quite a boring passage, you might think, when you look at it. But you'd find the same phrase there, as well as seeing that Joshua himself is called the servant of the Lord in the same specific way that we talked about earlier. This servant's going to be a new Joshua who's going to bring about people into the new lands. And he's going to lead the people on the way to that inheritance, just as Moses did in the first Exodus. Just guess what Moses also gets called in the Old Testament. Yeah, servant of the Lord. Can you see how this servant language is loaded all the way through the Bible? Or at least you can start to see it. See, the servant is going to bring God's people through the wilderness. He's going to bring them into their new inheritance. He's the better Moses, guiding them through the desert, who leads to the better Joshua, who's giving land to the people, who leads to the better David, who is king over the people, by being the better Isaiah, who speaks God's word to the people. The servant takes all the other servants of the Bible, puts them into one person. The servant is a pretty big chap. Not in size, but you know what I mean. And just clock verse 12. Where are the people coming from? Is the people of God, where are they coming from? See, as we read through this section, it seems like maybe we're just talking about Israel. There is more going on than that. Verse 12. See, they will come from afar. Some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Well, the north, that in context, is the place of exile. North is Babylon. It's where Israel has been exiled to. But the west, is there anything good in the west? There's been no history of an exile to the west. And Aswan, well, that's southern Egypt. So what we have here is just a small hint that the people who are going to be brought in are going to be bigger than just Israel. It's going to be a bigger exodus. It's going to be a worldwide exodus by a much bigger Moses, Joshua, David, Isaiah. That is why the islands are called to listen in verse 1. That is why the nations should hear. And that's how the Gentiles are going to join God's people. That's how history is going to stop repeating itself, all through this mega Uber servant, this authorized agent, this 007 style hidden speaking servant, hidden speaking weapon servant. We know who that is, don't we? As we close, I just want to take us to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be there at Christmas. But you know, when we read Luke chapter 2, Luke wants us to have Isaiah 49 in the back of our heads, okay? Because the one who was formed from the womb, well, a virgin's womb, he comes into Jerusalem. And Simeon, who's a man who represents Israel, and Anna, that's a woman who represents the exiles from the northern tribes, well, they're waiting. And as they look at this baby that's come in, they say that all that they've waited for is finally here. It's striking, actually, what Simeon says, going to put on the screen, in light of what we've just seen. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It's basically all Isaiah 49. See, the wait is over. Do you notice Luke 2? The sword that's been hidden away, well, it isn't done with yet. Verses 34 and 35 of Luke 2. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Normally, we don't know what's going on with that sword, do we? It's the same sword as Isaiah 49. Maybe you want to think about that some more. I've definitely gone over my time, so I can't explain further. But you see, in Jesus, we have all that Isaiah 49 was looking forward to. Jesus is this mega servant, this better Moses, Joshua, David, is Isaiah. He is the mega servant. And we're going to see more about what he does in Isaiah, more about his work that Isaiah was looking forward to in the coming weeks. But for now, let's give thanks for the Lord Jesus, shall we?
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.